We continue today with our studies of the kings of the Israelites and the people of Israel. So I will be reading 2 Chronicles chapters 21 through 23. I will be reading excerpts, not the whole three chapters. And then I will go to Jeremiah, one verse from Jeremiah and one verse from 2 Samuel and a few verses from Matthew 1. So the word of the Lord from 2 Chronicles chapter 21, beginning with verse 4. When Jehoram had ascended the throne of his father, Jehoshaphat, and was established, he killed all his brothers with the sword, and also some of the princes of Israel. And he walked in the way of the kings of Israel, as the house of Ahab had done, for the daughter of Ahab was his wife. And he did what was evil in the sight of the Lord. Yet the Lord was not willing to destroy the house of David because of the covenant that he had made with David, and since he had promised to give a lamp to him and to his sons forever. From 2 Chronicles 21, beginning with verse 11. Moreover, he made high places in the hill country of Judah and led the inhabitants of Jerusalem into whoredom and made Judah go astray. And a letter came to him from Elijah the prophet, saying, because you have enticed Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem into whoredom, as the house of Ahab led Israel into whoredom, and also you have killed your brothers of your father's house who were better than you, behold, the Lord will bring a great plague on your people, your children, your wives, and all your possessions. And you yourself will have a severe sickness with a disease of your bowels until your bowels come out because of the disease day by day. From 2 Chronicles 21, verse 19. In the course of time, at the end of 2 years, Jehoram's bowels came out because of the disease, and he died in great agony. His people made no fire in his honor, like the fires made for his fathers. From 2 Chronicles 22, beginning with verse 2. Ahaziah was 22 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 1 year in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Athaliah, the granddaughter of Omri. He also walked in the ways of the house of Ahab, for his mother was his counselor in doing wickedly. He did what was evil in the sight of the Lord, as the house of Ahab had done. For after the death of his father, they were his counselors to his undoing. 2 Chronicles 22, verses 9 to 12. Jehu, the king of Israel, or the commander of the army of Israel, searched for Ahaziah, and he was captured while hiding in Samaria. And he was brought to Jehu and put to death. And the house of Ahaziah had no one able to rule the kingdom. Now when Athaliah, the mother of Ahaziah, saw that her son was dead, she arose and destroyed all the royal family of the house of Judah. But Jehoshabeath, the daughter of the king, took Joash, the son of Ahaziah, and stole him away from among the king's sons who were about to be put to death. And she put him and his nurse in a bedroom. And he remained with them 6 years, hidden in the house of God, while Athaliah reigned over the land. 2 Chronicles 23, verses 10 to 15. And Jehoiada, the priest, set all the people as a guard for the king, every man with his weapon in his hand, from the south side of the house to the north side of the house, around the altar and the house. Then they brought out the king's son and put the crown on him and gave him the testimony. and they proclaimed him king. And Jehoiada and his sons anointed him, and they said, "Long live the king!" When Athaliah heard the noise of the people running and praising the king, she went into the house of the Lord to the people. And when she looked, there was the king standing by his pillar at the entrance, and the captains and the trumpeters beside the king, and all the people of the land rejoicing and blowing trumpets, and the singers with their musical instruments leading on the celebration. So they laid hands on her, and she went into the entrance of the horse gate of the king's house, and they put her to death there. And then we go to 2 Samuel 7:16. 2 Samuel is part of God's covenant with King David. The word of the Lord from 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 16. "And your house and your kingdom shall be made sure forever before me. Your throne shall be established forever." And then Jeremiah 23:5. The word of the Lord. "Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will raise up for David a righteous branch, and he shall reign as king and deal wisely, and shall execute justice and righteousness in the land." And finally, I will read a few verses from Matthew chapter 1. The word of the Lord. "The book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham." And then this genealogy includes, beginning with verse 6, "And Jesse, the father of David the king. And David was the father of Solomon by the wife of Uriah. And Solomon the father of Rehoboam. And Rehoboam the father of Abijah. And Abijah the father of Asaph. And Asaph the father of Jehoshaphat. And Jehoshaphat the father of Joram or Jehoram. And Joram the father of Uzziah." That's why the reading of God's holy and inerrant word. Let us pray. Almighty God, blessed are you, Father of glory, our source of wisdom and knowledge. Grant us your Holy Spirit, the comforter that our Lord has promised. For it is the Spirit alone who gives us minds and hearts and eyes that sees the wisdom, riches, beauty, and radiance of our Lord through the word that you have revealed to us through Christ our Savior and eternal King. Amen. Dear congregation of Christ, in 1936, the Italian dictator Benito Mussolini declared in a speech in Milan that, and I quote, "This Berlin-Rome protocol is not a barrier. It is rather an axis." He was referring to the alliance between Germany and Italy before World War II, and later with Japan, which became known as the Axis powers. After the 9/11 terrorist attacks, President George W. Bush branded Iran, Iraq, and North Korea as the axis of evil. Today, some writers refer to Russia, China, and North Korea as the new axis of evil. In the Old Testament Chronicles of the Kings of the Israelites, there is a similar axis of evil, which I also call the triad of evil. This axis is not a group of nations, but a queen and two kings of the southern kingdom of Judah. These are Jehoram, also known as Joram, Ahaziah, and Athaliah. King Ahab of the northern kingdom called Israel is also involved in this axis of evil. To better understand this, how this came to me to be, we must look at the two dynasties that came out of the 12 tribes of Israel. And these are on the overhead. We have learned before that David was the first king of this dynasty. His son Solomon inherited his throne, but he committed heinous violations of God's covenant laws against adultery and idolatry. So God's judgment against him was when his son Rehoboam became king, an official in the king's court named Jeroboam led a successful rebellion against Rehoboam. So out of this rebellion, a new kingdom called Israel was formed in the north from the 10 tribes who joined Jeroboam. So what was left of the 12 tribes of Israel was the southern kingdom called Judah. So the united monarchy of the Israelites ended with Solomon. So two dynasties were established. In the north, there was a series of kings, all evil, Ahab being the seventh king. In the south, Jehoshaphat, whom we studied last Sunday, was the fourth king. Then we learned from 2 Chronicles 18 verse 1 that Jehoshaphat and Ahab made a marriage alliance. Ahab gave his daughter Athaliah through the evil Jezebel to be the wife of Jehoshaphat's son Jehoram. So Athaliah and Jehoram became husband and wife. So this alliance gave birth to King Ahaziah. These three, Jehoram, Ahaziah, and Athaliah, are who we will refer to as the axis of evil of the ancient Israelites. All three committed heinous sins of idolatry, murder, and corruption against God's covenant laws he gave to Moses at Mount Sinai, as you have heard from our readings. This morning we will study Jehoram, Ahaziah, Athaliah, axis of evil under three headings. So I will refer you to our sermon notes. And there is also in the back a short article from Ligonier Ministries that is called The Reign of a Wicked Queen. So first, the prophet Elijah said to Jehoram, "You have enticed Judah into whoredom." Jehoram ascended the throne after his father Jehoshaphat died. So last Sunday, we learned that Jehoshaphat was a righteous and godly king. Even if he made a few mistakes and sinned against God. So one of these sins is that he made a marriage alliance with the evil king Ahab of Israel, the northern kingdom. Ahab gave his daughter Athaliah to Jehoshaphat's son Jehoram. Athaliah was Ahab's daughter through Jezebel, his evil queen. So Jehoram did not follow the godly footsteps of his father. Instead, what we read was he walked in the way of the kings of Israel as the house of Ahab had done, for the daughter of Ahab was his wife, and he did what was evil in the sight of the Lord. So the daughter of Ahab, who was his wife, is Athaliah. And Athaliah's mother is Jezebel. So most of you probably have an idea what kind of a woman Jezebel was. For most people, the name or word Jezebel connotes, according to the Merriam-Webster dictionary, an impudent, shameless, or morally unstrained woman. So why is this? In the history of Israel, Jezebel was the wicked pagan wife of King Ahab. She was the daughter of the king of Phoenicia, north of Israel. Jezebel, like his father, was a fanatic worshiper of the idol god Baal and his female consort Astarte, or Astoreth. Baal is the god of storm, and Astarte is the goddess of fertility. So pagan worshippers made poles representing their goddess, and their worship consisted of sacrifices, sometimes human, orgies with temple prostitutes, and cutting themselves as penance for their sins. This is the heinous paganism practiced by Jezebel and the northern kingdom. So she sought to sweep any worship of the Lord God of Abraham from Israel by exterminating all true priests and prophets of the Lord. Only 100 survived, and only Elijah spoke out on pain of certain death. Jezebel vowed to kill Elijah, but she failed because Elijah was victorious over 850 of her pagan priests and prophets at Mount Carmel. So Elijah instead had these pagan worshippers killed. But Ahab and Jezebel continued their blasphemous idolatry. So this then was the hideous inheritance that Jezebel gifted to her daughter Athaliah, who was given as a wife to Jehoram in a marriage alliance with King Jehoshaphat. And so, like mother, like daughter, Athaliah was also a fanatical worshiper of Baal. And so she seduced Jehoram into her pagan idolatry, away from her father Jehoshaphat's godly life. In turn, Jehoram enticed the people of Judah into the same wicked idolatry. So therefore, the prophet Elijah pronounced God's judgment against him, saying, "The Lord will bring a great plague to your people, your children, your wives, and all your possessions, and you yourself will have a severe sickness with a disease of your bowels until your bowels come out because of the disease day by day." God's judgment was fulfilled when, during the last 2 years of Jehoram's 8-year reign, he contracted the same terrible disease and died of it, perhaps a painful cancer of his bowels. So what can we learn from Jehoram's reign in Israel? So two things. First, there is a solemn warning to all of us Christians about marriage. So we know that God forbids us to marry unbelievers. "Do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers," says Paul. For a Christian to be unequally yoked with an unbeliever is like two different animals yoked together in the field. Paul says marrying an unbeliever is a partnership between the righteous and the wicked, or fellowship between light and darkness, or agreement between our Lord and the devil. So the result is not only undesirable, but disastrous. How many of us parents favored a man of means for our daughter's financial security, even if that man is an unbeliever? We probably thought that the man will come around in due time, but this seldom happens. And then the marriage turns into a broken family, a judgment that often happens because of disobedience to God's commandments. So first, the first lesson is about marriage. The second lesson is also a solemn warning to us about who we choose to be the leaders of our nation. It was not only Ahab and Jehoram who led their peoples into pagan idolatry that incurred God's wrath. Almost all the kings of Israel and Judah were wicked idolaters, murderers, and corrupt leaders. Although God was patient with them for about 900 years, God's patience finally ran out. He sent wave after wave of wicked Assyrians, Babylonians, Persians, Greeks, and Romans to destroy, exterminate, exile, and enslave them. Through almost 250 years, God has blessed our nation with prosperity and peace and the Christian faith for most of the time. But these last several decades, maybe even these last several years, we have become drunk with prosperity and power and forgotten our Christian roots. Not that America is a Christian nation, because the only Christian nation is the church. But its foundation is rooted in the Christian faith. So why have we forgotten our roots? Because our choice of leaders, from the president and his cabinet, Congress, Supreme Court, governors, mayors, and district attorneys, are way, way short of the moral values God has given all human beings. And so now, we are near the abyss of demonic policies of abortion on demand, sexual immorality, transgenderism, socialism, open borders, violent crimes, racism, abuse of power, and corruption in the highest places. Just last week, California launched billboards in Texas, Indiana, Mississippi, Oklahoma, and three more states. And these billboards quote Jesus in Mark 12:31. It says, "Love your neighbor as yourself. There is no greater commandment than this." And it's referring to loving our neighbor by providing abortion for them. The House bill, AB 2223 in California, is waiting for a decision. This bill says that if a person withholds or omits care from an infant, which a coroner might note as an unattended fetal death, so whether that infant is full term, premature, or born alive, but subsequently dies due to lack of care, that person would be immune to civil or criminal liability or penalty. So these are the kinds of leaders that the people of California has chosen, leaders who are wicked. And all of these godless leaders have led us into a frightening runaway descent into a bottomless abyss. And so when will God say, like he said during the days of Noah, "I have regretted that I have made America, so I will blot them out of the face of the earth." Judgment day cannot come soon enough. Secondly, we read that Ahaziah's mother was his counselor. So after Jehoram's 8-year reign, his son Ahaziah ascended on the throne. So what was he like? Alas, like father, like son, like grandfather, like grandson. He also walked in the ways of the house of Ahab, for his mother was his counselor in doing wickedly. He did what was evil in the sight of the Lord, as the house of Ahab had done. For after the death of his father, they were his counselors to his undoing. His mother was Athaliah, the wicked daughter of Jezebel. Jezebel also dominated her husband Ahab. So he made Ahab build a luxurious palace for her in addition to the king's palace. Ahab then saw a beautiful vineyard near his palace in Jezreel. And so he offered to buy it from the owner named Naboth. Naboth politely refused, and Ahab reacted like a little boy sulking in his palace. Jezebel then humiliated him, saying, "Do you now govern Israel?" She was saying to him, in effect, "What kind of a king are you? Can't you get whatever you want?" And so with deceitful lies, Jezebel had Naboth stoned to death on the trumped up charge of cursing God. So Ahab then grabbed Naboth's vineyard. So the Lord's judgment therefore came upon Ahab when he was killed in battle against the Syrians. Jezebel, as Elijah prophesied, was executed and her corpse eaten by dogs. This is a lesson for us Christian parents, especially mothers and grandmothers. Many households are headed by single mothers. Because of absentee fathers, on their laps fall the responsibility of raising and teaching their children in the nurture and discipline of the Lord. In Proverbs 31, we learn of a mother and wife who opens her mouth with wisdom and the teaching of kindness in her tongue. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, he praises her. Paul praises Timothy's godly grandmother and mother for raising Timothy in sincere and strong faith. And so Timothy became a pastor under the apostle. He also exhorts older women in the church, including mothers and grandmothers and widows, to teach what is good, and so train the young women to love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled, pure, working at home, kind, and submissive to their husbands, that the word of God may not be reviled. Women in the church have a great responsibility in teaching and training young women and men in godly living, and so that when unbelievers see the children's godly behavior, they will see holiness and godliness and therefore will not mock God. And this is one of the reasons why our culture today mocks God: absentee fathers and idolatrous mothers. Mothers and grandmothers who fear the Lord are the most precious in the family, in the church, and in the nation, raising children also in the fear of the Lord. So thirdly and finally, Athaliah destroyed all the royal family of the house of Judah. So we learned earlier that Jehoram murdered all his brothers to consolidate his despotic rule. But this was probably not solely his decision. It was probably also plotted by his wicked mother Athaliah. Because in 2 Chronicles 22:10 we read, "Now when Athaliah, the mother of Ahaziah, saw that her son was dead, she arose and destroyed all the royal family of the house of Judah. When her grandson Ahaziah died of bowel disease, she set herself up as queen of Judah. And to consolidate her tyrannic rule, she made sure that all of the royal house of David are killed. Perhaps she wanted to install, to start her own dynasty, or perhaps she wanted to install the current king of Israel, Jehoram, same name, Jehoram of Israel, as king of a unified kingdom with Israel dominating Judah. But Ahaziah's sister named Jehoshabeath saved the day for the Davidic dynasty. She took Joash, the one surviving infant son of Ahaziah, and hid him in a bedroom in the temple complex. And so she was able to do this because she also was the wife of Jehoiada, the high priest. And after 6 years, Jehoiada proclaimed the young boy Joash as king in the temple court and then executed Queen Athaliah in the king's palace. That ended the reign of terror of Judah's Bloody Mary. She was executed in a manner similar to her mother Jezebel, Israel's Bloody Mary. So dear brothers and sisters in Christ, behind God's frowning providence in the sufferings of his beloved people Judah because of the idolatry, murder, and corruption of its kings and a queen is God's eternal decree. He would save a people for himself through his Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, from the serpent in the Garden of Eden to Pharaoh's attempt to destroy all Hebrew babies, to Haman plotting the extermination of all the Jews in Persia when Esther was the queen, and to Herod's plot to kill all the babies in Jerusalem, in Bethlehem. God was working behind the scenes to preserve the line of David, to whom he promised an eternal kingdom. So when the infant throne, heir to the throne of Judah, escaped murderous Queen Athaliah, it was God's providence at work. So we read in 2 Samuel 7:16 that a son of David would be installed as the eternal king. In Jeremiah 23:5, God would raise up for David a righteous branch, a wise, just, and righteous king. And then in Matthew 1, this king is the son of David, who is also the son of Jehoshaphat and Joram. So this son of David is our Lord Jesus Christ, the eternal king, in whom all wisdom, justice, and righteousness dwell. Come to him, for he is the only Savior from God's righteous judgment against all sins. Let us pray. Praise and thanksgiving be to you, our God and Father in heaven, for your wonderful words of life, even in the Old Testament events, during the reign of kings over your chosen people. So you have given us wisdom in your word, riches in our heavenly inheritance, hope in glory, long life in eternal life, and victory over sin, Satan, and death. You have given us instructions on how to worship you in spirit and truth, and how we are to live our lives as people whom you have forgiven of their sins. Help us to be good citizens of your heavenly kingdom as well as good citizens of our earthly kingdom. All of these things you have given us in your Son, Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.